Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Family Power Hour, your weekly show, every Wednesday, 7 to 8. And you can find us on Facebook, Family Power. And please go to the Facebook and like us. I'm your host, Dr. Bibi Eisenberg. And
I am Sheena Bedrin-Wise, family law attorney, practicing in Palm Beach and Broward County. Also your co-host tonight. I'm very happy to be with you for another exciting episode.
And this show, every Wednesday, we're talking about family, family issue, marriage, divorce, trauma, grief counseling, alimony, money, sex, everything, the good life and the good thing in life. And today we have a special show because, you know, Sheena, it's Tu Bishvat today. Do you know what's Tu Bishvat?
I don't know entirely. I know you told me a little bit, but you can tell me again.
But before we're going to talk about the special day today, because it's really a nice Jewish day, and with all the Jewish day, that's, I really like Tu Bishvat because it's something very sweet about this topic. But how was the week this week?
Week was good. I want to also remind our listeners that this show is about empowering families. It's really giving you information, sharing. This is not our talk show, but this is not an advice show, but a talk show where we get to communicate and share experiences about our lives. And tonight's topic is going to really talk about how we reach those challenges.
But sometimes we can give advice. Sometimes, most of the time, it's a talk show, but sometimes we can give advice. And today, our guest,
Today we have Rabbi Zelman.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have with us Hanan
Berlina.
Thank you very much. And tonight,
it's a Rabbi and Hani Buki from Chabad Shul in Boca Raton, and it's the best Chabad here in South Florida. And they are amazing couple. And this is my shul that I'm going. And Rabbi Bukit is a very charismatic person, very knowledge about what he's doing. And Rabbi Sanhani, she has a lot of courses for women. And she's going to talk about this because so many that she can do for the women, empower women. And, of course, we have Hanan and Dro. And today it's about Tu Bishvat. So, Rabbi Zelman, tell us, what does Tu Bishvat mean?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much for welcoming this program. And Tu Bishvat. Tu Bishvat is called in Hebrew Chag La'ilanot. It's the holiday for the trees. It's actually a new year for the trees. And really it stems from the concept in Jewish, in the Torah, in the Bible, talks about the concept of tithing. It goes to the connection to the land of Israel, that we have to tithe our fruits, the obligation of tithing the fruits of the land. And the tithing was from the 15th of Shvat of every year. So the new fruits started off from the 15th of this month to the next year, 15th of the month. So that started off in the Talmud, that this is the Rosh Hashanah, the New Year's for trees. New Year's for trees. There are actually four New Years in the Jewish calendar. New Year's for kings, New Year's for people, New Year's for animals, and New Year's for trees.
Okay.
So tonight is the New Year's for trees, and it's a very great connection between the New Year's for trees and humans, because actually it's written in the Torah and in the Bible. It says, for man is like the tree of the field. So there's many connections between a human being and a tree, and therefore as we celebrate the holiday for trees, we're really celebrating the correlation, the connection between a human being and a tree.
So you said that the man is correlation between man and tree. Explain
Correct.
To me, because you say the Torah likens the man to the tree of the field of the earth. How?
There are many things. There are many symbolic concepts between a tree and a human being. One thing is it says that there are three things in a tree. There's its roots, there's the trunk of the tree, and then there is its fruits. So too, in a human being, there is its roots, where it comes from, there is the human being itself, and then there is the fruits that it bears, which is his good deeds or its children or things that the ultimately a human being brings out to the world. So that's one of the connections, and there are many or more connections.
Can you tell us a tree? My wife is here. A tree. Honey, thank you for having us on the show. Thank you so much. But we thought, you know, we're talking about Tu Bishvat, but just in brief, tell us what you have a lot of
Seminaries, about the classes you have here for women. So can you tell us, you know, we are a powerful women, and this is a Family Power Hour show. So can you tell us briefly about what you're doing here for women?
Absolutely. So since it's Power Hour, yes, it's good to find out where we can find power and where we can plug into power. So there's a very important statement that knowledge is power. And as Jews, where do we go to? What is our source of knowledge? Our source of knowledge is the Torah. And at Chabad in Boca Raton, we have many opportunities for men, women, and children to come and learn and to plug in to their roots and to their knowledge. At Chabad, we have classes every day of the week. Sunday morning, Rabbi Bukit gives an amazing Talmud class. Monday morning, 10 o'clock. Monday morning, we have a class for women in prayer. Tuesday evening is a class on the weekly portion. And Tuesday after school, we have a Hebrew school for children. Wednesday evening, we have women's class at 8 p.m. and we also have yeshiva night for men who have the opportunity to come and learn one-on-one with the local yeshiva students who are in rabbinical school here in East Boca Raton. On Thursday night, we are currently having a bat mitzvah class for adult women who didn't have an opportunity to have bat mitzvah at age of 12 or wanted to have a further experience. And Shabbat, and then the week starts over again. And there are several Chabad houses in Boca Raton.
But this is the best.
So this one, yeah. And what's the location here?
This location is 9040 Kimberly Boulevard in the plaza at Boca Hampton.
All right.
So if you want power, you got to know where to go for the power.
Power to the people.
Awesome, very good.
Before you're going to answer back to the Schwartz, let us all the audience call to tell you about how you can find us. You can call 347-945-7246. If you have any question to ask the Reverend Robertson Bukit about Tu Bishvat, about power, about family, don't forget, it's a Jewish holiday, but we're talking about Family Power Hour.
Yeah. So you could also email us or come into our chat room and send us your questions if you'd like. You can tweet me at SB Wise Law, or you can tweet Billy at Dr. Billy with an E at the end.
B-I-L-L-E-E-E, I think so. You know, mm-hmm. You still have, you need to know, you know, last week with the show with Penny. And she said it. If you want to apply and you need to know everything about internet and to take a course, so maybe I'm going to take the course with Daria to know about that. So, honey, I'm sorry. Go back to you. We start to talk about Tu Bishvat. What story you can take about how can you relate Tu Bishvat to the family?
Well, as you just heard from the rabbi, that there are many ways to compare a human being to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned the root. And it's very important when raising a family to realize that the roots are very, very important, meaning laying the foundation for the life of a human being is so important in the formative years. So as a child comes into the world, and even before, you already have to start educating the child and giving them a solid grounding in life so that later on, just like a tree, as you plant a tree in the earlier years, you have to tend to the tree and protect it so that the roots become very, very strong. And then even in the gale force winds, the tree can withstand any storms.
Mm-hmm.
So too with a human being. If a human being gets a solid foundation and solid education in the earlier years, then they are ready
to weather. I have a question. You said that the most important in the family is the root, its foundation. So do you think that less divorce in the Jewish community because of the root of the foundation?
Well,
and it's not a tricky question. I really want to know.
So it's interesting. It's a very interesting question. If you would have asked me this question 50 years ago, the proportions would have been, you couldn't have asked me 50 years ago.
I stopped. Okay, listeners, we all stopped to look at her because she's nowhere near.
Very close, but not yet.
A couple more years.
We're not going to reveal how old is Honey, but she's still young.
Where I'm going with my statement is that in earlier years, there was less divorce than there is today. But there's no question about it that when there is a marriage that takes place between two people that have the same goal in life, then there is a solid grounding to this relationship. And absolutely, you will find a lower rate of divorce.
And to connect it to your metaphor, that such a couple will build deeper roots in order to keep that standing, that family standing.
That's absolutely.
I think the metaphor through roots is the concept of purpose. I think, as Connie said, there has to be a common purpose in a family. I always tell my kids, the house has to be bigger than them. The purpose has to be bigger than them. So you can have four kids or five kids in a family, and they're all different, but the purpose is the same. And if we have the same purpose in life, then we could be different. But and that's, I think, also in a religious family, many times, if you have a common purpose, so we are different, and maybe not every time we think the same, but the common purpose keeps us focused. So that's really the concept of the roots, the purpose in the marriage. Doesn't mean there's no struggles in the marriage, but if we have a common purpose, it's ultimately going to overcome those struggles. So you have the purpose gives us the capability to overcome struggles easier. Also, the most important thing in a tree is its roots, but the most important thing in a tree is its fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Is its fruits, and the better the tree, the sweeter the fruits. So the tree's purpose is its fruits. And so too in
the fruit you mentioned
in the children,
it's a good deed or children.
Or the children. We want sweet children. So if you want sweet children,
plump
you
and sunshine.
You need to be sweet.
At least to act sweet. You really need to be well purpose because you want sweet fruits. I mean, you can have a tree that'll have fruits that are going to be sour or unedible. We want to have sweet fruits. If you want to have sweet fruits that will have sweet fruit, you have to make sure that to keep it sweet.
I don't remember. It's an Arab expression. When you, maybe Hanan, you remember. When you plant an onion, you're going to grow an onion. You know how it's in Arabic? I forgot it's expression in Arabic. That
we have another say in Hebrew that said, "Atapuach lo nofel rachok ma'et," which means that the apple doesn't fall so far from the tree.
So that's
my father-in-law said, "The tree doesn't fall so far from the apple." Which also have some like nice meaning into it.
So
the tree will not have another tree if the fruit will not give seed. That will create another tree. So the tree needs the fruits for the next tree,
right?
And therefore the tree continues to want to have more fruits, so that we'll have not only good fruits, but we'll have more trees. And that's the beauty of this continuation, the family. A family is not only important for itself, but it's important to have the next family and the next family. So that's interesting, you know, that we are going to be, this Saturday is the portion of the giving of the Torah and the Ten Commandments. And what's fascinating is there's one commandment, the Ten Commandments, actually only two commandments in the entire Torah, that the Torah actually tells you its reward. And that is, you shall honor your father and mother. So you shall have a long life, right? Mm-hmm. Why does it say that? Why does it say specifically that you honor your father and mother?
Well, God needed to make sure their parents had something to say.
I think what the rabbi say. The rabbi say, because if you show honor to your parents, your children will learn how to show honor to their parents, and so on and so forth. If we continue to show honor, if we show our children how we honor our parents, they will honor us, and they will show their children how to honor. That's why you'll have a happy life. So this will be a continuation, because this tree wants to have another tree. Mm-hmm. And this tree is not happy with this. This family wants more families. We are in the world to continue to populate the world and to have better families. Actually, the one thing is, it says that parents are never jealous that their children are better than them. Okay, we want our children to be better than us. They should be richer than us.
Right.
They should be healthier than us. They should be smarter than us. They should be more successful than us. We won't be jealous of that. We want to have a better tree. We want our children to do that.
Well, wonderful. And when we come back, we're going to have a short break. When we come back, I'd like to ask you, as the non-Jewish person in the room and learning so
Jewish?
Much stuff in here.
I beg, what?
I'd like to know how you celebrate this wonderful holiday, and then we'll talk about some of the traditions that are important to today.
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Rightstream Radio Network. Tune in to host Daria Ann for Rightstream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. Rightstream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. Rightstream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Rightstream Radio Network.
Hi, this is Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, energy healer, intuitive, and the author of the book, Just Believe. I'm also a host on the Rightstream Network. My radio show is called Just Believe and airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please stop by my website at www.lisatarvis.com. That's LISATARVES. For details on all the services I offer, information on my book, and my radio show. There are many amazing guests and fascinating topics scheduled for the show in the upcoming months. I look forward to connecting with you soon.
And we're back with Family Power Hour, the weekly show every Wednesday, 7 to 8. And you can reach us on 347-945-7246. And today it's Tu Bishvat, and we have a special show from Chabad in Boca Raton, and we're honored to have the Rebbe Bukit and Chana Bukit, the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin here. And before we went to the break, you had a question, Sheena.
Yes, I was curious to know how this day is celebrated by the families of your congregation and across the world.
Well, actually, you're taking me on a memory lane,
okay,
back to how we celebrated. First of all, if you allow shout-outs on your radio show, I'd like to wish a very happy birthday to my sister Deb, who lives in Israel.
Happy birthday!
Yes, so her nickname is Tubby. And
hi, Tubby. Yeah, I know her.
And in our home, we always looked forward to Tu Bishvat. My mom would go out, and she would try and find as many interesting fruits as she possibly could, at least 15, because in Hebrew it's the 15th day of Shvat that we celebrate the holiday of the tree.
Oh.
So it is customary to eat fruit from
why
a tree.
Why special fruit? I mean, not a special fruit. What you say special fruit.
So meaning fruits that we didn't eat for the entire year, something, a new fruit, so we could say the special blessing of Shehecheyanu, in which we thank God for allowing us to live through to another season that this fruit has again come into being.
What would be some of those fruits, those examples of fruits?
So particularly, first of all, the fruits that the land of Israel is blessed with. It says in the Torah, God blesses the land of Israel with seven kinds of food, which are wheat and barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, dates, and particularly the honey from the date trees, and olives. So those would be some of the foods that we would eat. And then she would find, actually, some of the fruit that I haven't eaten since I've come to this country. She would find different kinds of berries, like gooseberries and, you can get here, kumquats. Mm-hmm. And star fruit and
Sounds delicious.
Very interesting exotic fruits from different.
So it doesn't matter what kind of fruit because
lychees,
I know. Yeah. Oh, because I know the olives symbol of something in Israel. In Israel, it's a very special tree in Israel. But you say it doesn't matter what fruit, as long that we have something. Special. I think we have a caller.
We do. Let's see what they... Hello, you've reached the Family Power Hour. You have a question for our guest tonight.
Yes.
Hi.
Is,
hi. And what is your name, dear?
I'm on the air.
Yes, you are.
All right. I'm happy to be in your show.
Great. What's your name?
My name is Drew.
Hi, Drew.
And I heard you talking about marriage, and I have a question for you and your guest regarding you talking about before about marriage and Jewish foundations and making it stronger. Can you give me a few tips of how to make my marriage stronger and with the Jewish foundations?
Are you directing that question to a particular person?
The doctor and the guest.
Okay.
All right, so let's start with the rabbi. Rabbi Bookie, this nice gentleman asked about...
Yeah, so I want to hear a few tips.
A few tips? All right, so let's start with the rabbi.
You want to strengthen his marriage.
Right. Take out the garbage.
Yeah. Be on time at home for dinner.
Again,
I did it, okay.
The strength of your marriage, it says you should have the concept of compassion, that you bring compassion in the marriage. That a lot of times in the struggle of marriages, people think that since they don't think the same or they don't have the same goals, that they are not compatible. As Jews, we believe that we came together through a more divine, not only a physical, biological connection, but also a soul connection. And therefore, we have to bring in a little bit soul into the marriage. And that starts with having a little bit of ava and compassion, rachamim, compassion in the marriage, and sweetness in the marriage. You need some sweetness, I said, like the fruit. The fruit needs to be sweet.
Mm.
Bring some sweetness. Bring some candy home. And some
sugar.
Create some joy in your marriage. I think a lot of times we lose the joy of marriage.
When you say compassion, Rabbi, what do you mean about it?
I think in a marriage you have to think about when two people disagree or they don't understand each other, if they would have compassion for each other, then we don't have to per se always agree. We have the concept of rachamim. In Hebrew, it's called rachamim, compassion.
I know today is Tu B'Shvat, but I'm just curious to ask you, Rav Zimchani, that what happens if you find out one of the person become more religious for the other? So how the compassion come between two of them?
Well, that's also another very important component in a marriage, and that's respect.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be mutual respect. And I believe that if a couple respect each other and care about each other, then whatever the difference is going to be, it can be worked out. And one doesn't look at the other in a disrespectful manner just because they don't think in exactly the same way. So respect is so important. Without respect in a marriage, it's very difficult for a marriage to survive.
Chris once came to a rabbi, told the rabbi, your same question actually to the Babich Rebbe, and came to the Rebbe and wrote to the Rebbe that I'm more religious than my wife, and how do I rectify this marriage? So the Rebbe said, if you're so religious, then I'll give you a mitzvah to be very religious in, and that is to love your wife. And if you're going to be very religious in this mitzvah and this commandment, trust me, your wife will follow you.
Wow. So how's that for tips, Drew? How do you like that?
This one is, I'm highlighting this.
Yeah, I think that's a jewel he just provided you with.
And I hope you got all the tips that Rabbi Robinson gave it to you, and spread the word about be happy in the marriage.
Absolutely. I wrote down each one, every one of them.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling, and happy Tu B'Shvat.
Thank you very much. You too.
So Drew, our caller, asked how is marriage, the advice for marriage.
Yes.
And since we are in Tu B'Shvat, and young people ask me about how is marriage, I will do the connection to Tu B'Shvat. I tell them it's like two trees in a garden. The marriage is a garden. Whatever you do in your garden, how you maintain it, how you fertilize it, how you take care of it, that's the way your garden will bloom or will destroy. You can put fence around the garden. However, sometimes, how is it in Hebrew, Savim Shotim, like weeds will come through the barrier and will go into the trees and they will ruin the beautiful garden. So you have to put barriers from these weeds to come in.
You have to care.
You have to constantly maintain the garden. And if you will constantly maintain the garden, at the end it will be beautiful, like the gardens in Versailles, like the garden in Miami, beautiful gardens in Boca. If you don't take care of the garden, it will become a desert.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
The association will be after you.
Yes, it is true. In my own experience as a divorce attorney, when I see people come to me after they fail to care for their garden, their trees, they fail to bring the fruits to the families and appreciate the people in their unit. And so, you know, it's unfortunate. It can wither away if you don't take care of it. So, yes, I think that's really, really important to remember.
Because sometimes you can't take off the garden. Sometimes you try to do everything to maintain the garden and just take care of the flower. Sometimes you need to cut the roots. And that's why they need you. Before they come to see you, they come to see me, because when they come to see me with the fighting, that means they take the fruit as a hostage. They try to do a mishmash with the tree, and I don't want to talk about the children as a fruit there, but that's what Hanan said. I think that just if you want to keep the family as like a Tu B'Shvat, you need to maintain the garden.
Strengthen the family.
Do you have Rabbi Booker? Do you have any story about the Torah and about the family and the garden? Usually you have a great story.
Well, maybe we'll give them some time to think about it.
Yeah.
Everybody, all the callers, if you have any questions or you have any comments that you want to share with us, please call 347-945-7246. That's 347-945-7246. We're going to take a really short break, and when we come back, the rabbi is going to let us know a wonderful story that Ms. Dr. Billy has requested of him. So be, tune in. We'll be right
Sunday
back.
Evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern. Tune in to Right Stream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis.
Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the Right Stream Radio Network. Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts, and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham, Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
And here we are back in a special show from Chabad with the Rabbi Yair Bukit and Rabbi Tumchani Bukit. And it's the Family Power Hour, and you know you can call us 347-945-7246. And I just want to mention the other caller that he really mentioned about how we can be compassionate about the family. And the Rabbi gave a lot of tips, so please follow the Rabbi tips. So before we went to the break, Rabbi, you said you had a story about family, power, and tree.
That was a beautiful story, actually, in the Talmud. It has a beautiful metaphor of an elderly sage traveling in the land of Israel, and he comes by a tree, and he's looking for shade and for some protection and comfort, and he goes to sleep underneath the tree. And in the morning, he wakes up, and he turns to the tree, and he says, in Hebrew, Ilan, Ilan, bima avarechacha. He says to the tree, how can I bless you? How can I bless you? You're such a beautiful tree. You gave me shade. I ate from your fruits. How can I bless you? Can I bless you that you should have a beautiful, healthy tree? You are healthy. Should I bless you that you should have water near you? You have water near you. Should I bless you with beautiful fruits? You have beautiful fruits. How can I bless you? He says, I'm going to give you the following blessing. May your fruits be as sweet as which you are. May your fruits be as sweet as you are. Mm-hmm. And that's really the blessing of the family. The family is that we bless, as I said before, that we want that our fruits, our good deeds, our actions, our children, whatever the fruits represent, it should be as good as us. My wife mentioned her situation in her experience in being brought up in Brooklyn. My experience, we ate carob. Carob. Every Jewish man, we ate carob.
Otherwise known as boxer.
Boxer. Yeah. We ate carob, boxer. And that's also a very interesting fruit. It takes, I think, many years for a carob tree to actually mature and have carob fruit. It takes, like, I think, 60 years. For a tree,
Charavim.
And it's a tradition, it's a minhag, it's a tradition to eat carob, specifically on Tu B'Shvat. It's very hard fruit, it's very difficult fruit, and you can break your teeth on it. And that's what we ate as children. Every year we ate carob. And I think the lesson is that, again, you have to, you don't plant the fruit in the tree only for what's going to be now. You plant a carob tree, what's going to be maybe in 60 to 70 years from now.
Wow.
So it's also a very important thing, as Hana mentioned, you know, the way, actually one of the important lessons of the tree is the way you fertilize the tree, that's the way the tree is going to grow. And actually the way you take care of the earth of the tree, that's the way the tree is going to grow. And it might take many years for ultimately for this tree to give unbelievable fruits, but you always have to look far down. You cannot only look right at what's right in front of you. You have to be able to see maybe 60, 70 years from today and realize that your actions today might have repercussions for many, many more years to come. And that's a great lesson.
That's an awesome thought to think about as parents, that the way we interact with our children is going to impact not only their life, but their children and their children for many years to come.
Now, is this holiday also, and it gives parents an opportunity to tell children how to appreciate the earth and how to take care of the earth as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. The yeah. earth is one of the things that we teach our children from as soon as they can speak is that before they eat anything, they recite a blessing. And there are different blessings for different foods. When we recite a blessing, in fact, what we are doing is we are acknowledging that everything we have is a gift from God. And certainly, the earth is a gift from God. And he chose human beings to tend to the earth that he created. It is a very important thing. There is a commandment in the Torah that we have to take care of the earth. And we're not allowed to destroy anything. If somebody wants to cut down a fruit tree, it is a great question to be asked of a rabbi because there's a mystical Baal Tashchit, you're not allowed to destroy. And so absolutely, this is a very opportune time.
You're talking about cutting tree. I know in Israel, it's a tradition that in Tu B'Shvat, everybody planting a tree. And I was posting on our Facebook page that President Obama and Prime Minister Shimon Peres, the planted tree. Do they the same tradition here in America and all of the world, or just in Israel?
No, they do.
What was the tradition? Why the planted tree? It's a symbol for what?
Okay, it's a symbol to the concept of Tu B'Shvat is the holiday. Again, to remember that the concept of the trees, of the fruit that comes from the tree. You know, truthfully, you see, beautiful, the concept of trees, fruits. Every fruit is so unique, not only in its taste, in its color. If you take each fruit separately and you put it all together, it looks dull, one color. Take a bun, take a plate, put on different kinds of fruit and vegetables. It gives us it's like a garden. You can have a garden on your and really the truth is we learn two things from that. First of all, every fruit is unique. Like every child is unique. Every person is unique. Some people might like a lump. Some people might be an orange. Some people might be an apple. Some people might be a little more sweeter. Some people might be a little more tangier. Some people can eat nuts. but you can imagine the world without nuts. Every fruit is unique. Special. And then when you take all, you don't have one fruit. When you take many fruits, and that's actually tonight, we eat as many fruits as we can eat, not only one fruit. And you bring all these colors and all these fruits together, and you say, wow, how beautiful that God made so many different kinds of fruits,
yeah,
and so many different kinds of tastes, and so many different kinds. It's phenomenal. You see the greatness in God's creation, and really we need to look at that in human beings too. That we cannot all be the same fruit. We need to be different fruit, thank God. And it makes life more tasty. And we need to taste different. And we need to look different. And we need to act different. And that's the beauty. We need a garden of many kinds of fruits. God says, this is my garden. My garden has many kinds of trees, many kinds of fruits. And that makes the garden more beautiful.
Yeah, we get to appreciate those gifts.
I have a confession, for you. I'm Jewish, but I was thinking all these years, it's Tu B'Shvat, it's just not a Jewish holiday, because we need to plant a tree. I didn't know it's a really Jewish holiday. So until that, I know I'm coming, I will do my research. So which part of the Torah they're talking about Tu B'Shvat?
As I said, in the Talmud it says that Rosh Hashanah, Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah. La'ilanot. Tu B'Shvat is the New Year's for trees. And what the meaning of the New Year's for trees is that the tithing, it really goes back to the Torah, the tithing, you had to tithe. You had to give a certain percent to the Levi, to the priest. So the tithing of fruits was started from Tu B'Shvat. Meaning that any fruits that came after Tu B'Shvat till the next year Tu B'Shvat was in this year of tithing. Yeah. Any of the fruits that was before Tu B'Shvat
was in the previous year of Titus.
But especially in Nisan, you know, before Pesaver, everything, all the food starts, you know, after the winter.
Well,
so,
now
yeah.
begins in Israel.
Yeah.
It's now the beginning of spring.
Oh, okay.
So it's the perfect time, and that's why they plant trees in Israel at this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here we don't necessarily plant trees. We'll take, you know, in Hebrew school, we'll plant in a pot. We'll plant parsley
mm-hmm.
so they can grow it and have it at the Seder. But in Israel, spring begins now,
yeah.
and all the most of the rain has fallen. And so it's the perfect
not this
time.
Year, yeah, not this year. It's different. All
in general,
all
the holidays are connected to Israel.
Yeah.
They're all connected to Israel. When we're saying that we pray for rain, even in America, we pray for the rain, not only in America, but for Israel, because in its period. Actually, in Israel, the rain comes in a certain period of time. In America, it can rain constantly.
Yeah,
but in Israel, it's very specific. It's usually now is the rainy period. After that, you're not going to have rain in Israel. So that's what we need to pray that you know, that in the rainy time in Israel, it should rain.
Hannah, you want to say something?
Yeah. Tu B'Shvat, to my understanding and my research, was not exist during the Torah time or Tanakh in the Old Testament. It came much many years later. If you're going to look for Tu B'Shvat in the Old Testament or in the Tanakh, you will not find it mentioned. It's not there. It's something that evolved throughout the years. And one of the reasons it evolved...
Talmud.
Yeah. The Talmud. One of the reasons...
Don't argue with the rabbi.
I'm not arguing with the rabbi.
No, you can't. I'm bringing more power to what it says.
I'm empowering what it says. It evolved. And one of the reasons for it to evolve is to create the bond and the connection between Jews to the Holy Land, to the land of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing it by creating symbols and customs to connect between people and the land. And one of the things is eating the foods that we discussed. One of the foods that you may eat, or it's recommended for you to eat, is Shivat Aminim, which is fruit that's recognized to be grown in Israel. Further, the plant of the tree that you mentioned, it's again to create a bond of connection that you're taking a tree and you plant it in the Holy Land. You're tying yourself to the land by doing it. It's like showing a commitment to where you want to live, to grow, to flourish. So Tu B'Shvat is a holiday evolved throughout the years through tradition. There was some, as you know, in the Judaism we have Sephardic and we have Ashkenaz. And it's many years ago, the Seder Tu B'Shvat was not exist
in Ashkenaz.
In Ashkenaz.
Yeah.
It evolved. It started
mm-hmm.
more with the Sephardic
yeah.
and all the tradition, and then it's moved to the Ashkenaz side. Today we're looking at Tu B'Shvat in Israel as a holiday that connects nature with Judaism, with the land. All together is in one circle. It's evolved through celebration in schools, singing in kindergarten, special song. We have, as I grew up, I remember, Ashkedi Yaporach, Ad Veshemesh Lazorach, which was a song.
You can
do that. Now we're stopping here, because I don't want to start to get too many phone calls to stop the show. So, throughout the years, there was a good, as I said, good connection, and it's throughout generations that we teach our kids in Israel. Through the connection, it's a circle of land, tradition, Judaism, and the land to become together, to connect together.
It was a great day, you know, that I didn't know, and it's a great. Rabbi Bukit, I have a question for you. You know that Shina Benjamin Wise, attorney Shina Benjamin Wise, she's a family lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So what a good advice you can give her, because she's dealing with people, they come to her office to cut the roots. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sometimes, you know, that's what she's doing. She's doing the best. She can convince her not to do it. But what's the good advice you can tell her as attorney, family attorney? Yes.
And if I could add to that, because, you know, today's topic is really about, you know, how we face those challenges of life. And sometimes our religious upbringing and our cultural kind of conflicts with some of the choices we make. So sometimes, we do face these issues, and we need a spiritual, you know, guidance or that little gem of advice that would bring
mm-hmm.
some peace two individuals.
Yeah. So maybe before people get divorced, you need to send them to Rabbi Booker.
They've already seen her.
I usually tell a couple before they get married that they should each write, take a piece of paper and write down why they're getting married. Why do you love this person? Why? It has to be a reason. Mm-hmm. Why are you getting married? And then they should fold it up and put it in a safe box for a rainy day. And and then read why they got married. It's very difficult if the people are fighting, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of emotions to be able to work out those issues, those situations. You have to try, you know. It's interesting, in Judaism there's a concept of divorce. Out of all religions, Judaism there's a divorce in Judaism. And the rabbis ask, because we know it says in the Talmud that even God cries when a person gets divorced. So why does Judaism give divorce? Why does Judaism, to death do we part? Why is there divorce? Because Judaism is very into the concept of free choice. And if you tell a person that you cannot get divorced,
that's when they want it.
Just like children.
No, then they're in the relationship not because of free choice. And that's not a person should be in a relationship because they want to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And not because they're forced to be in a relationship. So really, it's not true love. If I'm forced to be someplace, then it's not really true love. There needs to be that always the capability, so to say, that I can leave. And therefore, so what am I doing here? Because I want to be here. I want to be here because I always can have the concept of divorce. I want to be here. And that's why I think that when people come to me in emotion, I say, go back a little bit. Try to go back a little bit into your history. Listen, you were in love together. You made children together. There must have been something that attracted you to one another. And try to go back to those, if it's possible, to even write that letter now. What were the things that you were in love with this person, and therefore, not that you got married because you had to get married, or your in-laws wanted you to get married, or other reasons, but you wanted to get married. It was a free choice situation, and try to go back to that free choice to why you wanted to get married.
So a caveat to that is once they say, how does the family get past the divorce and still function so that the children can benefit from both father and mother when the divorce has occurred, when it's gone through?
I think that we have to act like adults. Not every situation can last, always every situation can last forever. And if we're adults and we realize again that we want sweet children, because if we want that our children should not be sweet and they'll have unsweet children, then we have to break the cycle. And if we're mature adults and we care about our children, then we would do that. We would make sure.
I always tell people, if you're going to fight, you might as well stay married.
Right.
And I think it's a great idea, if people are going to come to your office and they're going to divorce, to take the analogy to a sweet food for the children.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like
it.
You know, this is really but you know what? We listen to the rabbi. This way, you're not going to have a job before you need to go to the office, because everybody's going to come to the rabbi.
Ultimately, you'll have to have legal. I'm not a legal, but I'm saying if you show your children you're fighting, and there's hate, they are going to do the exact same thing.
Absolutely.
You're going to teach them that is part of a marriage.
History
hate
repeats itself.
That's it. So do you want sweet children? Do you want to continue to next generation? Or do you say, you know what, I'm going to stop it. We might not like each other, but we want our children to be good children, and hopefully they will have happy marriages.
So it's amazing, and we have a lot to talk about it, but Sheena, you know what? Tell her, what is your phone number? How people can reach you after they find out they want to get divorced, but they want to stay and to be good for the children.
Right.
The sweet food.
Right.
So how can they find you?
Sweet children and sweet families is possible even with that. But you can reach me at 954-783-9737. Our office is in Pompano Beach, Florida, We serve Palm Beach and Broward County, but it's 954-73-9737. And in addition to seeing their rabbi and getting counsel from their rabbi, they come to see you as well.
Hmm? Yes, they come to see me before the cutting the roots, before the Ghanaians come to see you to cut the roots. They're going to see Rabbi Bukit and Rabbi Simchani, and I try to teach them all the compassion. Huh? I try to teach them how to take care about each other. And they can reach me at 561-271-7106 in my office here in Boca. And we need to have another break before we finish the show. And we have another question when we come back.
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for Right Stream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. Right Stream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. Right Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Blog Talk Radio.
Forgotten Heroes, the independent film that Hollywood refused to distribute.
They were asked to risk their lives in order to save their enemy.
The producers of Forgotten Heroes are donating.
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for Right Stream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. Right Stream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. Right Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
And we're back with the Family Power Hour. Here we're talking with Rabbi Zelman and his beautiful wife, and also we have Hanan who's with us tonight. And we're talking about a celebration of life and trees of Tubat Shabbat.
Shabbat?
I'm learning, everybody.
Shabbat is Friday.
I'm learning. And so we're talking tonight about how some of our choices and life challenges of how we grow in our lives. And
you had a question about the sweet fruit, so...
No, yeah. I just made a comment over the break that I just love the fact that the underlying theme that's developing tonight is sweet fruit, sweet children, and how we work together to make that happen, and how a celebration of, like we're talking tonight, really encourages that and brings that forth for families to support our children as they grow up and become what they need to become to produce sweet children as well. I think that's beautiful.
This is really beautiful. So, Rabbi Zalman Bukit, we need to finish soon. So what you can tell us about Tu Bishvat, about the family, what's a good story? Usually have a very good story about Tu Bishvat.
Well, I think not a story, but I think when this is called the concept of a power of the family, power of self, I think you can't have a strong family if you don't have a strong self identity, and it's important to be a strong tree,
It's important to be a strong person. It's important to know who you are, your qualities, and your negative things in life. It's important to be able to have a strong family, that the husband and the wife, both of them have strong identities and strong personalities in what who they are and what they're going to do in life. Just to say a beautiful story, there's a beautiful analogy of this rabbi who followed this farmer, and every day he would, as he passed, coming closer to his house, he would pass the tree, and symbolically he would put something on the tree. Mm. And the next day he would come out and symbolically take it off the tree. So he once asked him, what are you doing when you go into the house, and what are you doing when you come out? And he said, when I go towards my house, before I enter into my house, I symbolically take my whole day and hang it on the tree.
Mm.
So when I come into my house, I'm the husband and the father and the person I need to be in my house. And when I leave my house, then I have to take symbolically off the tree that I need to do in the world at large. And it's important that as a human being that you have these two identities. Because you need to have identity of what you do in the world as your business or your people that you deal with, your friends, etc., etc. And then you need to come home and you need to be able to be the person that you are in your home. And I think that's, again, a symbolic concept to a healthy tree, a healthy earth, healthy fruits, and as you said before, sweet fruits. And that's what really we are looking for, to have the concept of sweet fruits. Yes.
For all our listeners, it doesn't matter if you are Jewish or not Jewish, if yesterday is Tu B'Shvat, we can learn about family, we can learn about power for every tradition, you know, it's spirituality. So it was really, really important and really, really powerful to hear from the Rebbe, the Rebbetzin today about Tu B'Shvat and the Torah, how to connect to family, and we are a family power hour. So, and again, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not, that think about the roots, think about the fruit, think about how the compassion, think about the earth.
As well as our earth and how we take care of it and everything that we contribute and appreciate. As the rabbi said earlier, we get to appreciate all the beautiful fruit that exists out there.
And Sheena, do you want us to share to all the listeners that the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin are going to be here next month? We're going to talk about family power hour, about family, about relationship, about divorce and marriage and good stuff in life.
I really enjoyed being here tonight. Thank you. I feel so welcomed and so, you know, part of family. This is my first time meeting everyone, and it's just been a blessing. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's a family power hour. Every Wednesday, you can go to the archives to listen to all the tips the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin gave. And thank you so much, Sheena. Can you give us your phone number?
Yes, yeah, at 954. You can reach me at 954-783-9737.
And you can reach me at Dr. Billy Eisenberg, 561-7106. And next week we have a surprise. We have a very, very special show. So please go to our Facebook, Family Power Hour, and you will see who's going to be there next week. And again, Tu B'Shvat Sameach, happy holiday, and thank you so much for Rebbe Simchani and Rebbe Bukit, and thank you.
Yes, thank you, everyone, and have a good night.